Necesitamos ser un pueblo de espíritu y sacrificio. Un pueblo de espíritu y sacrificio. Como cristianos, somos un pueblo que depende del Espíritu Santo para guiarnos en nuestra vida de fe. Y también somos un pueblo que imita a nuestro Señor, tomando nuestra cruz para seguirlo. A veces separamos las dos cosas. Queremos ser un pueblo profético, carismático, guiado por el Espíritu, pero no queremos abrazar la cruz. También podemos hacer lo contrario. Podemos ser un pueblo de sufrimiento sin reconocer el papel del Espíritu Santo actuando en nuestras vidas. Sin embargo, en la cruz, mientras Jesús sufre su pasión y muerte, el Padre, el Hijo y el Espíritu Santo están presentes. Él llama al Padre. Jesús se ofrece a sí mismo como víctima del sacrificio y exhala el Espíritu como su último aliento al expirar en la cruz. So we need to be people of spirit and sacrifice. Spirit and sacrifice. And as Christians, we are people who both rely on the Holy Spirit as a guide for our life of faith and also to imitate the Lord by taking up his cross to follow him. But sometimes we separate those two things. We want to be a prophetic, charismatic people led by the Spirit, but we don't want the cross. And sometimes we can think about our suffering a lot, but not think about how the Holy Spirit is part of that suffering, how the Holy Spirit is working in our lives. But on the cross, Jesus was undergoing his passion and death. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are present in the whole event. The Father is present when Jesus calls out to him. Jesus offers himself as the sacrificial victim, and then he breathes the Spirit as his final breath expires on the cross. And I mean to say all that because our readings both point to this fact as well, that we are both spirit, we are people of the Spirit and of sacrifice. Por lo tanto, necesitamos ser un pueblo de espíritu y sacrificio. Nuestras lecturas para este domingo lo deja muy claro. En nuestra primera lectura, Dios toma parte del espíritu dado a Moisés y se lo da a los 72 ancianos, permitiéndoles profetizar. Sin embargo, había dos hombres, Eldad y Medad, que no estaban allí cuando se les dio el Espíritu y de todos modos están profetizando. Josué le cuenta a Moisés sobre este problema. Moisés responde en parte diciendo que Dios quiere que todas las personas sean profetas y que dé su Espíritu a todos. En el Evangelio, los discípulos le dicen a Jesús algo similar, que alguien está expulsando demonios en su nombre, que no lo sigue, y le preguntan si deberían prohibirlo. Jesús responde que quien no está contra nosotros está a favor nuestro. So we need to be a people of spirit and sacrifice. And in our first reading, God takes some of the spirit that he gives to Moses and then he gives it to the 72 elders, allowing them to be able to prophesy. However, there were two men in the camp that were mentioned, Eldad and Medad, who were not there when the spirit was given, yet they're still going out and prophesying. And Joshua goes up to Moses to tell him about this problem. And Moses responds, partially, by saying that God wants all people to be prophets and to give his spirit to everyone. And then we read about a very similar problem that goes on in our gospel. When the disciples tell Jesus that someone is driving out demons and performing miracles in his name, and then they should ask him whether they should prohibit him. But Jesus responds that whoever is not against us is for us. Esto deja en claro que somos un pueblo del Espíritu. Hay quienes son obispos, sacerdotes y diáconos que tienen gracias especiales por su ordenación y usan las oraciones de la iglesia para pronunciar cosas proféticas y liberar a las personas de los espíritus malignos. Por ejemplo, los sacerdotes pueden ser guiados por el Espíritu Santo cuando dan homilías, y ese mensaje pueden hablarle a una persona que escuche la homilía. Pero los laicos también, el don de profecía en sus vidas. Todos los católicos son bautizados como sacerdotes, profetas y reyes. Además, eso se fortalece en la confirmación cuando se abren los dones del Espíritu Santo que recibió un bautismo. Eso significa que el Espíritu Santo puede inspirar a una persona para que diga cosas proféticas a otra persona para llevarla a la santidad. Por ejemplo, puedes decirle algo a compañero de trabajo que lo inspire a venir la misa. So it makes it very clear that we are people of the Spirit, and that it's true that bishops, priests, and deacons have a special grace by their ordination and through the prayers of the church to utter very prophetic things and to deliver people from evil spirits. For example, a priest may give a homily guided by the Holy Spirit, and then someone may hear that message and then decide to change something in their life, and the priest could never have predicted that would happen. But lay people also have a gift of prophecy in their lives as well, because everyone is baptized, all Catholics anywhere, baptized as priest, prophet, and king. And that is then strengthened in the sacrament of confirmation to open those gifts of the Holy Spirit that you receive in baptism to be able to go out and proclaim the good news. That's why confirmation is important, and we shouldn't delay receiving it, because it can strengthen that grace. But that means that the Holy Spirit can inspire a person to say prophetic things to another person to lead that person to holiness. So for example, you might be talking to someone, let's say you're a student at school, and you get this inspiration to invite someone to a Bible study, and then they come. You didn't know that would happen, but you receive that inspiration and you follow through. That's the Holy Spirit working in our lives. Por supuesto, la profecía no debe descontrolarse. La profecía no puede contradecir las enseñanzas de la iglesia, porque el Espíritu también inspira la Sagrada Escritura y la tradición y permite que el magisterio guarde esa enseñanza. El espíritu de esa profecía también necesita ser probado. El hecho de que escuchemos una voz en nuestra cabeza o veamos algo en un sueño no significa que provenga de Dios. Puede provenir de nosotros mismos o incluso de otros espíritus malignos que intentan tentarnos. Si el espíritu está causado de visión o conduce a la tristeza, la ansiedad, a la ira o otras emociones negativas, entonces tal vez debamos cuestionarnos si proviene de Dios. También debemos ser cautelosos si escuchamos a un espíritu que nos dice que hagamos cosas muy extremas, como hacer penitencias extremas, tener oraciones excesivas, o tomar medidas drásticas con nuestras vidas, que pueden no prevenir de Dios. Nuevamente, el espíritu de profecía es bueno, pero necesita ser probado y debe hacerse con libertad y no por la fuerza. El Espíritu Santo es gentil. So of course prophecy shouldn't run wild. It has to be controlled, and the church has sort of guidelines to be able to do that. First of all, prophecy cannot contradict the teachings of the church, because the Spirit also inspires sacred scripture, it also inspires the tradition, and is guarded by the magisterium of the church in that teaching. And so if we, for example, say, well, I think there's actually four, it's actually one God and four persons at the quadrinity, it's obviously not from God, because God can't contradict tradition and revelation. And also, just because we hear a voice in our heads or see something in a dream doesn't necessarily mean that it comes from God. The spirit always has to be tested first. So it can come from a lot of different places. It can come from ourselves. It can come from other evil spirits that are out there trying to tempt us and lead us away from God. And if those spirits are especially causing division, or they're leading to very negative emotions like sadness or anxiety, bitterness, anger, things like that, there's a good chance it may not come from God. But we have to test it to know that. We also have to be cautious if we hear a spirit tell us to do very extreme things, like take on extreme penances, or have very overburdensome prayers that we can't do, or take very drastic actions with our lives, because that may not come from God either. Again, the spirit of prophecy is good, but it needs to be tested and done out of freedom, not by force, because the Holy Spirit is gentle, often in the way that it guides us in all things. Por último, el Espíritu Santo nunca nos llevará a hacer nada que sea malo o pecaminoso. Tampoco debemos llevar a otros a pecar. Jesús advierte a sus discípulos que sería mejor para una persona que le pusieran una piedra de molino al cuello y le arrojaran al mar, que hacer que una persona inocente persona. Además, Jesús dice que es mejor entrar al reino de los cielos mutilados que dejar que esas partes del cuerpo nos lleven a pecar. Ahora, por favor, no vayan cortándose las manos ni sacándose los ojos la próxima semana, por favor. Pero si necesitamos eliminar aquellas cosas de nuestra vida que nos hacen pecar, esto significa que debemos ser un pueblo de sacrificio. Por ejemplo, si pasas demasiado tiempo con el teléfono, haz el sacrificio de no mirarlo durante toda una tarde. Si no duermes lo suficiente, vete a la cama a tiempo como sacrificio. Si comes demasiado, pide una comida más pequeña a la próxima vez que salgas a comer. Al igual que la profecía, no seas demasiado extremista. Comienza con penitencias más pequeñas primero. Cuanto más nos sacrificamos, más podemos unirnos a la cruz de Cristo y llegar a ser más como Él. También permite que el Espíritu trabaje en nuestras vidas, porque estamos escuchando al Señor en lugar de centrarnos en las cosas materiales. So finally, the Holy Spirit never leads us to do anything that is evil, or even lead other people to evil. Jesus warns his disciples that it's better for a person to have a millstone put around their neck and to go out into the sea than to cause someone to sin. Furthermore, Jesus also says it's better to enter the kingdom of heaven maimed with different body parts than to be able to than to take sin to heaven with us. Now, that doesn't mean we should go, cutting off our hands or cutting out our eyes or anything like that. I don't want to see that next Sunday. But it means that we need to be people of sacrifice. We need to cut things out of our lives, those occasions of sin, as the reading says, that lead us to sin. So if you're on your phone too much, for example, maybe make a sacrifice one afternoon and not be on your phone. Or if you're not getting enough sleep, go to bed early or go to bed on time just to make that sacrifice. Or if you find you're eating too much, order a smaller meal next time you go out to eat. But start small. Don't go too extreme about it. Because the more that we sacrifice, the more we unite ourselves to the cross of Christ and we become like him in all things. It also allows the Spirit to work in our lives because we are listening to the Lord. When we cut these things out of our lives, we're listening to the Lord and focusing more on him than the material things of this world. Remember that we are people of spirit and a sacrifice. Recuerda, somos un pueblo del espíritu y del sacrificio.